everyone. This is Pastor Lawrence Taylor, and this is Reflection on the Scripture. Last week, we started a discussion about church and music. And I'd like to continue that discussion today. Fortunately, my producer, my technician of this program is a young man. And he is also a musician. He's a musician for Kenilworth Baptist Church. And so he has a perspective. I mean, you're taking my perspective, an old man, all right? So I think it's good to hear from a young man also. We want to make sure we balance everything and there are no biases in this case. But we do want to rightly divide the word of truth. Producer, my engineer, and the church musician, Brian Stewart, is here to join us today, join with me in this discussion about music. So, Brian, come on in.
Thank you for having me, Pastor. Appreciate it. Hello, everyone.
I greatly appreciate you coming along and helping out with this so you can challenge me if I've gotten anything you think is incorrect.
Okay.
We want to give not so much a broad perspective, but a detailed, accurate perspective on music in the church. What's going on?
Well, from my own observation, I can see that the music in all churches varies based on the musicians, obviously, that you have. But in terms, I've noticed a difference between Saturday, Seventh-day Adventist and, you know, Baptist churches. There's much more of a youthful presence in Seventh-day Adventist churches for whatever reason. A lot of people my age, they're out there by the numbers and the music is loud and it sounds almost like a party, but it's still worship. A lot of Baptist churches I pass as I pry in and I look inside the door, it looks like a lot of kids that were dragged to church by the parents as opposed to like going out of their way to go themselves. And just the morality looks different. Now, that's not to bash all churches. You know, all churches are not the same. Right. So it varies from church to church, congregation to congregation, because I know a lot of Pentecostal churches, especially people in my family, where they are hooping and hollering and they're jumping up and down and the music is loud and, you know, people are catching the Holy Ghost and things like that. People of my age gravitate towards the music heavily. Although it is not the centerpiece of church and is not the focus, it's the draw for us, I would say.
Yeah.
It's the entertainment aspect of church. So, you know, as a youth, especially in these day and ages, you know, we're entertained 24 hours a day, every single day, and it becomes more or less a habitual lifestyle to always need to be entertained in order to keep your interest there.
Yeah.
So I feel like, you know, when it's just focusing the word or it's heavily scripture based or prayer based, there's a bit of a disconnect between the youth because they're fidgety. You know, there's I don't want to call it ADHD, but there's an uneasiness with just sitting there and receiving the word and, you know, taking it for its truth rather than singing your favorite praise songs by your favorite artist and stuff like that to feel like you're getting closer to God through singing. Now, I know everyone's interpretation of singing and ministering is different. Some people look at that as well as the same offering to God as you would be preaching, but I'm more curious to hear what your views are on, you know, with the differences, things like that.
Well, that was very helpful. I mean, And I didn't notice about the Seventh-day Adventists in terms of their musical appeal to young people. You know, generally I thought of churches like the Hill Song Church and let's see, Elevation, and you know, some of those others where right. they got like hundreds and hundreds of people in there.
It's like a concert.
And it's like a rock and roll concert. Right. There's no question about it. It's like a rock and roll concert. And I'm saying, I wonder how many people, would that same group just gather for some good, solid Bible teaching?
Right.
Where you open up the scripture and say, yeah. Well, we're going to go book, chapter, and verse. We're going to expound the scriptures. Or is it because they're all excited about the music and the experience that they have with that emotional high? I'm not saying music is not an important part of worship, but let's face it. The church has several major responsibilities. And one of those responsibilities is teaching the word of God. Jesus said to Peter, feed my sheep. Now, that excludes, unfortunately, singing and, you know, and some of the other stuff that we do in church, although that's important too. But that's not the primary focus of it. So I'm wondering, maybe some of these young people need teaching and they've lost their perspective when it comes to what the church is all about. But, I mean, that's you know, you could say, well, that's just an old-fashioned idea
right.
that you have. Let's recall the passage that I cited last week, and that is Ephesians chapter 4. In Ephesians chapter 5, the Apostle Paul wrote in verse 18, beginning at verse 18 to 20, and do not get drunk with wine, for that is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody with your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks for all things in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ to God, even the Father. So obviously there he's talking about music.
Right.
And music plays an important part in the worship of God.
For sure.
Now, the question is the quality of music. Is any kind of musical expression acceptable to God? I mean, so, because some of the stuff I see, I got to tell you, on YouTube, that stuff is wild.
Yeah.
It's just some wild kind of stuff going on in some of these places. And they got a, I don't know if I mentioned this last week, they got a new program on, one of these reality programs, mm-hmm. Growing Up Gospel or something like that.
Yes.
I don't know if you got a chance to see
it. Franklin Sons on there, I believe.
Yeah. And I'm saying, man, looks like we have strayed far from the truth of the gospel here. I mean, what is going on?
Yes.
But I mean, I don't know. That's just, again, you may say that's just an old fogey's way of seeing things.
Rating and ad dollars.
Oh, well, yes. Now, explain that. What does that mean?
Well, pretty much controversy sells. That's not a new concept.
Right.
And it's made its way into a lot of, I guess, prestigious institutions. You know, things that were once held with high regard, they're now being exploited through controversy. You know, they're creating chaos in order to film it, monetize it, and sell it back to the viewing public.
So that's a, and it looks like Christian standards are really not, or biblical standards are not being upheld.
Right.
So it's all right to walk around with fancy cars, fur coats and diamonds and all kinds of bling around your neck sort of thing. And say, you know, you're a servant of the Lord.
Right. Pastors having affairs with congregation members and stuff. Yeah.
Yeah. And of course, there's nothing new about that.
Yeah.
You know, never, right? That was going on when I was growing up. Okay. Pastors fleecing the flock.
Right.
But back then, when I was growing up, mm-hmm. it was a shameful thing.
Right. Right.
It seems like it's almost, well, you know, that's what happens.
Right. It's glorified now.
Yeah, yeah. It's like you got Playboy preachers here, you know, mm-hmm. that you can do whatever they want to do, dress however they want to, right. treat women however they want to. And we admire that sort of thing and make celebrities mm-hmm. out of them. Mm-hmm. So how far have we gone from the gospel, from the church? Look, the people who wrote those hymns, those were churchmen who devoted themselves in church women. I think it gets like Fanny Crosby. But those are people who devoted themselves to the service of Christ until they died.
Right.
They didn't do it for profit. They didn't do it for fame, fortune. They did it in service to him. You don't have that today. Mm-hmm. You got people who want contracts, want big names, want TV programs, mm-hmm. and get into movies. And you got one pastor who even talked about selling marijuana. Mm-hmm. I mean, he said, look, I want to reach my people. I want to reach the people there, so we need to have a weed ministry,
wow.
okay, where we can reach the people. I mean, that's just the insanity of that mm-hmm. is just it's mind-boggling. How that could be acceptable by anybody's standards, and this guy called himself a pastor. I mean, I just find that just mind-boggling. Mm.
So they're employing gimmicks and schemes. That's an unfortunate deterrent.
Yeah, and it's what the Apostle Paul said in Colossians chapter 3. It is the Lord Christ whom you serve. It is not yourself. It's not your fans. I mean, I can't even believe we're talking about Christian people out here having fan clubs mm-hmm. and all that other kind of stuff, like celebrity Christianity. Right. Well, that's what we've come to, celebrity Christianity now, where it's all about having a name and people following you and you making all this kind of money and just doing all kinds of gyrations.
Right.
One time they even had in the church, I think that sort of died down, where they had, I think it was called twerking or something like that.
Yep. Yeah.
You know, where you can use all these vulgar gyrations in the church and say that you're serving God. You know, one time we were coming back, you weren't with us, mm-hmm. From a retreat. And they started playing, some of the people on the bus started playing some song about shaking your rear end, but, you know, they used the B word.
Right.
I said, no. You take that off right away, right now, okay? Get that off. We are not going to have any of that here.
Right.
But Christians have become immune and sensitive to that thing, and they think it's an acceptable thing. So I'm just saying, how far does this music take us? I mean, when I say far, I mean, how low does it take us?
Right.
How far does it take us away from the principles of Scripture?
I mean, unfortunately, I feel as though in the churches in today's time, we've moved God to the back pew and we've made room for everything else of the world to infiltrate the church in terms of, you know, money, popularity, you know, recognition. And a lot of people fall for the prosperity preaching and the pamphlet pushing. And they don't seek God anymore. They seek to numb the void and the pain of just living in life and reality. And they don't truly try to seek the understanding and wisdom of God and truly try to understand the blessings he's bestowed on us. They take life for granted. They wake up and think nothing but fear and worry. And they forget that this is a beautiful life. It's a beautiful world. And, you know, our instrument is our voice, and regardless of having a band or anything, we should still be able to sing and give praises to God without it being a showboaty kind of thing. And, you know, it's not necessarily a concert, but it is a concert for God in a way of speaking, you know, so.
Yeah, yeah, well said.
Right.
It is a concert to God. Well, when we offer our praise to God.
Exactly.
Yeah, so you don't have to have celebrities come in and entertain your congregation.
Right.
Because it shouldn't be about entertainment in the first place. It should be about rendering worship to God. And unfortunately, I don't see that. Now, I don't believe that any Christian has, a Christian leader, pastor, should say, this is the type of music that you're going to sing, music that comes out of the Reformation, you know, or something like that, or we're just going to sing the hymns, or, you know, because that's ethnocentric. Mm-hmm. Let me be clear. I heard pastors argue and say that kind of stuff, well, if it's not really based on the Reformation and that sort of thing. Well, you know what? The Reformation was in Europe.
Right.
You didn't have a Reformation in Africa. Are you going to go to a place like Burkina Faso and tell those Christians, well, you know, that music that you're doing there, that's not right. You need music from the Reformation. Or I mean, that's just ethnocentric, racist. That's all that is. It devaluates the culture of others while elevating European ideals. So that should never be.
Okay. I have a question for you, Pastor.
Yeah, sure.
Do you think that the gospel music can be a roadmap or a starting point for the unsaved to find salvation? Like, do you feel as though the music can lead someone to wanting to know or start a relationship learning God? Or do you feel as though, you know, is it one-sided to where, you know, the word is the only thing that should bring people in and keep them?
Well, I think God can use anything. And I think music is certainly a channel that God can use to draw people to the gospel. So it's not just the teaching and the preaching, but music also that can have an impact, a profound impact on the lives of people. And one thing I want to be cautious about is that we don't want to give people the wrong impression about our own Christian values.
Right.
And say, well, you know, everything goes here. Because if people see that you're doing the same thing as they're doing out there in the world, they're going to say, well, what difference did the gospel make in your life?
Right.
You're out there twerking and doing other stuff like that, carrying on with bling bling and getting like this show, getting into fights and degrading other people. I mean, what difference did the gospel make in your life? So we want to illustrate that too. And that is certainly can be expressed through the music that you sing and you listen to. So I think music can be an avenue, yes. And of course, again, I'm not describing a particular genre. But what I am saying is that there are certain limits that you got to place on this, and not everything goes. Everything goes. I mean, you got artists out there, and I don't know who they are. You know who they
right.
are. Because you're under 30, mm-hmm. okay? And you listen to music.
Right.
I mean, you got some of these Christian artists who come out and, I mean, they've had homosexual relationships, lesbian mm-hmm. relationships. They announce later on that's what they are,
right.
Just perpetrating a fraud in this case. And this kind of stuff is just, I think, yeah. disgraceful to the cause of the gospel.
Yeah. And I feel like a lot of musicians that failed at their secular music career transition to gospel because they feel like it's easier, it's safer, and they never really let go of the lifestyle that they held on to before. But, you know, they're just using it as a way to, like, you know, keep their pockets full and, you know, keep themselves in the circles that they want to be in.
Yeah. Now, let me ask you, and I know this is going to be a hot-hitting question.
Sure, let me know.
But I think it's important. The type of music that we do here at Kenilworth, how would you evaluate it? I really put you on the spot there, didn't I?
No, that's fine. Never going to speak down on my own congregation or church. But if I had to put it on a slider between, one and five, I'd say we're sitting strongly at a 1.5 because, things have happened. COVID, unfortunately, happened as well. So things took a turn for the worse at a moment in time for the music ministry. The congregation lost some numbers, whereas a lot of churches, congregations lost numbers and stuff like that. So, the overall presence wasn't there. The band, wasn't really tight anymore. I think people moved away. Circumstances happened. So due unforeseen problems, we're kind of at a stalemate right now. But I feel like we're working towards building back to where we once were. Not to say, I feel like before we were at a very strong 3. Mm. And that was maybe 15 years ago. So I think, with that being said, we had many more band members. Rest in peace to those that we lost. Hero moved away. So, we're going to come back stronger. God is going to build us back better. And I feel as though the music ministry is going to take a turn for the absolute best. Musicians out there that are willing to volunteer their time to the Lord, please, drummers, guitarists, keyboardists, we would just love and appreciate your time if you're willing to give it to us. I just wanted to throw that out there.
Good, very good. Yeah, because at this present time, you're looking at the musicians here.
This is the band.
This is it. Ryan plays keyboard, I play the guitar, okay? Right. And then that's what we have. But we're going to build from there.
Exactly.
That is correct. The pastor does the music too, okay?
Right.
So we try to do contemporary. But let me explain what contemporary means to a lot of our folks. Contemporary means stuff that was done back in the 1980s.
Right. Yeah.
Latest in the 1990s. That's contemporary, Above All or something like that.
Yeah.
So we want to, in fact, let me just point this out to you before we close. Look at the types of music that the Apostle Paul references here in Ephesians. He says, speaking to one another in verse 19, in Psalms. Well, that means that they were singing the scriptures. And the word psalm actually comes from a Greek word, not a Hebrew, but a Greek word, which means to sing along with an instrument, plucking of an instrument. And hymns. Now, hymns would be the traditional songs. And spiritual songs. Well, spiritual songs are new songs. Songs that are that emanate from the unction of the Spirit. Singing and making melody with your heart to the Lord. So, they had different categories listed right there in the passage. God does want a variety of good sound biblical music. Suggest that this should be an ongoing discussion here at this church and in your churches too, as we try to improve the ministry for Christ. So we want to thank you, and we hope this has been a blessing to you. Until next time, this is Pastor Lawrence Taylor and Brian Stewart for Reflection on the Scripture.